Hallelujah. We serve a mighty good God. I love the reality of us being able to bow down before Jesus and just feel His presence in our spirit. Whether we feel it in our soul or our body or not, it doesn't matter. But if we can feel Him in our spirit, then it'll affect our soul and our body. Amen? Hallelujah. So glad to see each and every one of you. Glad you're here tonight. Hallelujah. It's a pleasure to have Anna's mom with us tonight. That's nice. Did y'all come expecting?
Yes.
You know, we said this morning, you know, come tonight expecting. Amen. You know, Jesus, whenever he taught something, if he was going in the direction where salvation, or if he's going in the direction where healing, or if he's going in the direction where deliverance, whatever direction he needed to go in, that's what he preached. And when he preached it, guess what? The Holy Spirit and God the Father and Him come together, and it was manifested. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. So open up your Bibles, if you would, with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6. And you bear with me. We're going to... tonight, I don't care where you're at in your life. If you're in a position where you need a touch, spirit, soul, or body, we're going to go through the sixth and seventh chapter here and hit some high points out of the Gospel of Luke. And I don't care where you're at, you're going to hear something by the Spirit of God that will cause either faith to be built or faith to be released for Jesus to do some things in your life. Tonight, if you feel like there's some areas in your life that have been stolen from you, listen, by the Spirit of God, some areas in your life that's been stolen, looks like they're dead and gone. If you'll hear tonight, if you'll hear, if I'll hear, we'll be healed.
Amen.
Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. Yes. Jesus said if we had eyes to see and ears to hear.
Yes.
Come on, say that's me.
Yes.
All right. Luke chapter 6, I want to read two verses for a text. Let's read verse 6 and verse 17. And then we're going to fill in the blanks as the Lord would lead. Luke chapter 6, verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue, that Jesus went into the church house and he taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now drop down to verse 17. Verse 17. And he, Jesus, came down with them, and he stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, which came to hear Jesus and to be healed of whatever they might need. Amen. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for honoring the word. I'll stay this side of as far as I can, but I got to get down here close to you because we got to get together on this. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, notice here. In these verses, we see that Jesus, He'll come to meet us in the church house, but He'll meet us outside the church house. That's the kind of God we serve. And so we're coming into a moment of time right now where God is doing what He can do to get the church outside of the four walls. And so He's going to do what needs to be done inside the church. And if you notice right now, there's a lot of confusion inside the church. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. There's a lot of things that's happening. And so Jesus is limited what He can do inside the church. So He's going to take the church who is willing to follow His voice, and there's going to be people's needs that's going to be met.
Amen?
Amen? All right, so just give me a little leeway here, and let's go through this, because you need to hear this, because it's going to do a spark in your spirit. Amen? All right. Now notice what he said. It said, and it came to pass that on another Sabbath, aren't you glad that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath?
Yeah.
And to you and I, it's not about a day of the week. It's about every day of our lives.
Yeah.
Jesus is your rest. Amen. He's my rest. That's simply what Sabbath means. And you and I are able to rest in Jesus. And so I need to hear something tonight that will help me to rest in Him, don't you?
Yes.
All right. So, and it came to pass on also on another Sabbath that He, Jesus, entered into the synagogue, into the church, and He taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now, your right hand has to do with your call, with your strength. Your left hand has to do with your calling. So here, this man, just like you tonight, he had a call on his life, but something had happened into his life, and he had lost the strength to be able to do it. Now, I want you to know that the devil has come against several of you, including me, in this church house tonight, to try to get our strength, to try to keep us from being able to fulfill our calling. But we serve a God who's faithful, and we're going to fulfill our calling. Amen? And so, I want you to see this man in the church house. And he was in there, and there was no concern about him. Do you ever feel like tonight that nobody understands?
Yes.
I want you to know that Jesus does.
Yes.
All right, so he's in a situation where all those around him, they're caught up in religion. They're caught up in different things. And so Jesus shows up specifically just to meet this man's need. He's here tonight to meet your need. Amen? All right. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus, and they watched this man, whether he, Jesus, would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. Notice, they weren't concerned about this man. This man had a family. This man had needs for himself, for his family. Tonight, you've got a family. There's needs in your family. And whether anybody else understands it or not, Jesus does. And He wants to come into your life. And anything that has been dried up, that has lost its strength in your life, He wants to bring restoration to you. Amen? All right. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what everyone was thinking beside this man. And He said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." Now think about this. See, the Word of God is progressive. And your response, my response to the Word of God must be progressive. So here, Jesus looks at the man and He sees the man's need. He reads the heart of the man. And everybody else, they're just interested in their own rules and regulations. They have no concern about the man. So Jesus calls him out and He gives a word to him. And that word is simply, I want you to what? I want you to rise up. And then I want you to stand forth. See, when you and I, when we hear the word from Jesus, if we'll allow that to move us to action, it's an act of faith. Anytime that you have an act of faith, God, what? He's a rewarder, right? The book of Hebrews are those who diligently seek Him by faith. And so he spoke to this man. This man, he heard it in his spirit. And what did he do? He stood up, he arose, and he stood forth. Now, this man, no doubt, we have all got things in our life tonight that I might not want to share with you. And because to me, it would be personal, it would be embarrassing. Now, this man, tradition tells us, you can take it with a grain of salt or whatever, but Jewish tradition tells us this man was a rock mason, and he had got his hand damaged. And he could no longer do that particular work. And so when Jesus tells him to stand up, Jesus is saying, I want you to look at me and I want you to be willing to trust me. Tonight, whatever situation is in your life that looks like it's dried up, look like that it's lost its strength, if you'll hear Jesus and you'll stand up for Him at His command, then He's going to meet you right where you're at. Amen? Then Jesus said unto them that were listening, I will ask one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to slave or to destroy? Verse 10, and looking round about upon them all, Jesus said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. Now, if the man had not stood up, he could not have heard the next part of what Jesus had for him. And that's what you and I have got to see. If there's any area in your life where it seems like there's a blockage, if there's any area in your life where you know that you've heard to Jesus, but you haven't reacted in that, it's time that you say, Lord, I repent. I hear what you're saying, and I'm ready to act on what you've told me. Because there's been times in my life the Lord has spoke to me about something and I did not understand it or I did not want to give heed to it. And so guess what? He didn't say, have anything else to say to me until I heard him, until I acted upon what he told me. So that you see how this is progressive. So he told the man, he said, I want you to stand forth. I want you to rise up and stand forth. And then I want you to stretch forth your hand. Now, and he did so, the man did so, and his hand was restored just as the other. That's what the Word of God does. When you and I hear the Word of God, it changes everything about us. Now, so you hold that in your forethought of your mind, and let's drop down to where we picked our other scripture for our text. Now, in the meantime, Jesus, he gets along with his disciples on the mountaintop. And there he calls those disciples forth and he names them apostles. And then they come down, and that's where we picked it up in verse 17. And he, Jesus, came down with them, and he stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and the great multitude of people. So I want you to see here, Jesus goes where the needs are. He goes where the people are at. And he's always bringing somebody with him. Come on, say, that's me. You and I, we're going wherever Jesus leads us. Amen? All right, so he's standing there, and he's just come from the mountaintop. He's been in that experience with God, and he's got something to give. You got to believe that Jesus has something to give, but you got to believe that you've got something to give because you've received from Jesus. Amen? All right, now notice, this is where it gets exciting. And there was a great multitude of people out of all of Judea. Judea, remember, means celebration or praise. So there's a group of people here who are praising the Lord. There's a group of people out of Jerusalem, those who are letting God be their peace, their foundation, their rulership. And then there's people from the seacoast of Tyre. Now, Tyre, every time you see it in the Word of God, it means false rock. So there's a group of people that are serving something that they think is real and true, but it's not. Now, that's what we're seeing in the world tonight. There's a lot of people who are serving this world's religion, but guess what? Jesus is going to meet them where they're at. Come on now, that's exciting to you and I. And then he said that there was people that were in Sidon. There were people that were ready to be harvested. That means fishing house. So you see all this group of people that's here that Jesus is ready to minister to. And it says, they came to hear him. And notice it says, and to be healed of their diseases. So tonight, if you and I will just hear whatever the Spirit of God is saying to us about situations and circumstances, we have a promise that His Word brings healing. I believe that, don't you? His Word brings healing because Jesus is the healer. He is the will of the Father. Now notice what it says in verse 18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Now, this word vexed, it fits perfectly in our world tonight. Because the word vexed here, it is a word that we could even translate what we're seeing happening all around our nation. Riots. In other words, these people that are coming to Jesus, they are having their mind overrun with thoughts. Now that may not mean nothing to you, but it means everything to me. Because at times my mind is overrun with all sorts of thoughts, all sorts of fears, anxieties, struggles, and troubles. And I need to know that it's not of God, it's of the devil, right? These vexation of these spirits. But Jesus, if I will hear him, he brings what? He brings deliverance from that. He brings relief from that. And so, it doesn't matter where I'm at in this group of people, if I'll just hear him, I'll be healed. Come on, a lot of people, they'll just talk to certain types of people, certain people they can relate to. But Jesus relates to everybody. And so we've got to see this promise here. Now, hold your place right here and we'll come back. Let's go and see how this applies to us. Go to Psalms 107 and verse number 20. Psalms 107 and verse number 20. Look what it says. He sent his word. This is what God the Father done. He sent Jesus. He sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destructions. Now this word destructions is a pit. The pit of the enemy, the plan of the enemy, the ploy of the enemy. So the word has already been sent to us. All we have to do is hear it, receive the healing, and receive the deliverance. Amen? Because look at verse 21, what it says. It says, "Oh, that men, or mankind, no gender intended, oh, that God's creation would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works toward the children of men." What's the wonderful works? Healing. Deliverance. It's for you tonight. It's for me tonight. He wants us to have peace in our mind. He wants us to be in the place where the enemy doesn't control us, but we're in a place where we can sit down with the Lord on this Sabbath day that is every day in Jesus and just rest in Him. Amen? That's what He has for us. So how did Jesus heal that man with the withered head? He sent forth His word. He healed him. He delivered him from every plan of the pit. Come on, that's for us tonight. We need to see that. But how did He heal those that were vexed, that were there was a rioting going on in their mind? He healed them because He was the Word that was sent. I got to believe that Jesus has been sent to me tonight, don't you? See, in the book of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, if you'll notice, in that first chapter it says, And God said, 10 times. 10 times God said, and in the last verse of chapter 1, God saw. See, tonight, if we'll hear what God's saying, we'll see what God sees. Amen? I want to see the healing of the Lord. I want to see the deliverance. I want to see the joy of being able to rest in the Sabbath every day with the Lord. Amen? All right, let's go back to Luke. Now, notice he said in verse number 19 where we left off, And the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for there went virtue, there went power out of Him, and He healed them all. Nobody's left out because somebody's rich and somebody's poor, somebody's good looking, somebody's not, somebody's popular and somebody's not. He healed them all. Now, notice what it says, that they sought to touch Him. Now, that word is too weak. In the Greek, they grabbed a hold of Him and they attached themselves to Him. See, that's what happened to you and I when we got saved. He's the vine, we're the branch, we're attached to Him. Amen? So we got to believe that. So when we're hooked into Jesus, all things start happening. Amen? Now, let's go to the seventh chapter of this same gospel, and let's pick it up. And for sake of time, there's so much in there, but I want you to get these next two healings in your heart. Look at verse number 1, Luke 7 and 1. Now, when He had ended all of His sayings, when Jesus had stopped teaching in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. Now, Capernaum means village of comfort. And, you know, right now you see, you know the big Baptist church not having church, Methodist church not having church, the Assembly of God church not having evening church. You know, we're getting to a deal where you would think if a church was open, it'd be overrun. But no, it's comfortable. It's comfortable not to go to church at this moment. That's fixing to be shook up. But Jesus, He goes to the village of comfort, and look what happens. It says, "And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto Him, was sick, and he was ready to die." So this Roman centurion, he's over 100 soldiers. He's got this servant, and he's about to die. You know this story. Verse number 3. And when he heard of Jesus, remember, hearing brings healing. Come on. And tonight, I want you to see that you can stand in for somebody else. Amen. Glory. Thank God what He'll do in my life and what He'll do in your life, but thank God what He'll do who we can believe for. Amen? Glory. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto Him the elders of the Jews, beseeching Him that He would come and heal His servant. And when they came to Jesus, verse 4, they besought Him instantly, saying that He was worthy for whom He should do this. Now, I understand we're in between the new and the old covenant here. But you and I, we realize that we don't come to God on anything about ourselves. We come to God by Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you have done or haven't done. It's your faith in Jesus. Amen? And so what qualifies us tonight? We believe the Lord. Come on, it's not about works. Faith will produce works, but it's not about works in this situation. Verse 5. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue, yet at his own expense. Verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Verse number 7. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word. Now highlight this on your heart. But say in a word, and my servant might be healed. Glory. Faith. Faith's talking, right? Hallelujah. He said, I want you just to say in a word. Because, see, being in the military, Brother Duckett can understand this. You, when you got set authority, when somebody says jump, you jump, right? And so he understood this authority here, but he understood it in the kingdom. Say, I'm in the kingdom. Come on. Jesus has authorized you to use his name. And when you speak out his name, it's just as if he's saying it because you're speaking his name, meaning his authority. See, when you say the name of Jesus, you're not just saying Jesus in English. You're saying what and who Jesus stands for. Everything that he won at the cross for us, when you're speaking that name, that is coming out of your life. So can you imagine, here Jesus is, these messengers, this convoy, they bring this message back to him. Verse number 8, he said, For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. Verse number 9. When Jesus heard these things, now mark this down in your Bible. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Now, there's only two times, you look it up for yourself, there's only two times I can find that Jesus marvels. And his 33 years, he marvels at this centurion who has come to faith. A Gentile coming to faith, he marvels at him, and he says, I haven't found such a great a faith. But then if you look in Mark 6:6, at Jesus' hometown, he marvels at those around him that should have faith that have no faith. So our Lord and Savior can be marveled at a lack of faith, or better said, complete unbelief, or he can marvel at faith. Say, I'm going to make Jesus marvel tonight. Come on. He has dealt to you the measure of faith. Amen? It's inside of you. And so we're going to take him at his word. We're going to believe that Jesus is speaking to us. He's speaking on our behalf. And he's speaking through us on other people's behalf. Amen? All right. Verse number 10. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant, how? Whole, that had been sick. Why? The word. Jesus didn't go and touch him. He didn't do anything. He just spoke the word. You know what word he spoke? He spoke what the centurion said. The centurion got believed in the heart, confessed with the mouth, and he got what he said. Come on, because the centurion was a man of what? Of great faith. No faith had been found in Israel. So he was saying what he was hearing in his heart. He speaks it out. Jesus agrees with him because he's done agreed with Jesus, and it is done. Isn't that something? Come on, this is our pattern. This is our formula for success when we follow the way and the work of the Lord. Amen? Now, this is where it gets exciting. Now, notice how Jesus ties this together. Verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain. Now, you got to understand Nain. You do a little a search on it, and you can see that it's in existence even in sorts today. But if you'll do go back in history and look at this place, its geographical location, it is out of the way. Okay? It's 25 miles by foot here that Jesus had to walk from Capernaum. He goes from the village of comfort, and he goes out of his way in this place that's hard to get to, difficult to get to, because he's on a mission. See, I don't care where you're at tonight in a certain area in your life or your family's life. I don't care how difficult it is. Jesus will get to your situation. And He's willing to go out of the way to get there. So the number 25 in Bible numerics, it means the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus, in this miracle, He's coming to show what happens when you've been forgiven. See, you've got an inheritance that cannot be taken away from you when you've been forgiven. Stay with me now. And it came to pass the day after that He went into a city called Nain, and many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. Now see, there's going to always be some believers with Jesus, but guess what? Where there's believers, they're going to be drawing other people. And those other people are going to have an opportunity to become believers. Amen? So Jesus is going to always be working in your midst and my midst for our betterment, because it's part of the covenant, but also for the betterment of those who can see, receive the love of God, and forever be changed. Now, Nain, by the way, it means home pasture. See, you and I, we have a pastor. In Jesus, right? Jesus said, I'll prepare a pasture for you. I'll cause you to lie down in the green pastures beside the still waters. I'll feed you. Amen? So even when it looks like things are dead and you have no hope, it looks like you've lost your inheritance, Jesus wants you to know that He'll bring it back to you. All right. Verse 12. Now when He was come nigh into the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Now let's stop right there. I want you to think about how God is trying to get our attention. Jesus is coming in through the city gate, and He comes in and He meets this funeral procession. He meets it head on. Now see, the way they've done things in these days, in this case, they've got this stretcher cot like briar, and they've got this dead son on it, and there's the mother, and she's right there in the front with four Jewish men are carrying this boy outside the city to be buried, and everybody else would come in behind, and they would follow this funeral procession, kind of like we do today, and everybody would be wailing and mourning and all these things. Jesus didn't come in that way, because Jesus ain't going to agree with death. He never agrees with death, because Hebrews 2:14, Satan is death. And so what does He do? He meets it head on. Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to meet your problem, my problem, head on. He wants to help us. Those things where the death of the devil is trying to work in our life, He wants to speak life to them. He wants to raise it up. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. So now when He was come out of the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Now notice this. The only son of his mother. She was a widow. And much of the people of the city was with her. Now let's understand the culture and the time frame of what we're talking about. It tells us that she's lost her son. How horrible, how unconsolable we can just imagine that she is. But then it tells us that she's a widow. So let's think about this just for a second. Now in this day and time of Jesus, in the culture of this era, her son had inherited everything from her husband. See, she had no rights as a woman. She couldn't own anything. Very few things could she do. And yet, when her husband died, all that he owned was passed to the son. And now the son has died. Now, according to the law, then everything would have been passed to the uncle, this son's uncle, and so on and so forth. But there's no way that she could raise up children because of her age. So she has nothing. There is no way for her to make a living. She has no hope. She's lost her inheritance. There's people walking in this city right now tonight. They're walking all around the world tonight. They don't know that they've got an inheritance. They don't know that God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, wants to what? He wants to save them. He wants to wash them white as snow. He wants to give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. But He wants them to know that He wants to give them heaven. Amen? The eternity and every promise that's in this book, He wants them to know it's bought and paid for. It's theirs. They don't know it. They've lost it. This is the way this lady was. She's walking. She's inconsolable because of the hurt in her heart from her husband and now her child. And then thinking, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? You can see the heaviness that is upon her and upon this situation. And I believe there's some heaviness on your life tonight. Jesus wants to lift it. Amen? All right. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her. Aren't you glad that Jesus don't look away? Have you ever been going somewhere and all of a sudden you run onto somebody that you hadn't saw in a while or whatever, and you see real quick that they turn their eyes and they go the other way? Jesus don't do that. He looked her right in the eye and come right to where her deepest hurt was. Tonight I want to be able to see Jesus, don't you? The eyes of the Lord. I want to look in His eyes. His eyes are like liquid love, and they're full of compassion, and they want to meet every need. And the Lord saw her, verse 13, and He had compassion on her. Come on, tender mercy. Active compassion. He gave it to her right then. Notice what happens. He said in that last part of the verse, the last two words, look at it. He said, weep not. Now remember, He sent His word and heals us and delivers us from all of our destructions, all the plan of the pit. Now, I want you to imagine all the anxiety, all the fear, all the hurt, everything that is going through this lady's life. And He looks at her, they make eye contact, and He says, weep not. Weep not. Now that's not a command in the sense of, you know, you're upsetting me. That is a command in the imperative of touching her heart. Those words healed her heart. Those words went into where she had lost her husband, where she had lost her son, where she had all the fear and the anxiety of how she was going to make it, and those words went in there. Tonight, God wants to speak a word in your heart where you will not be in fear. You will not be anxious. See, I don't know about you, but there's some things that I do in my life, and I do them because the devil triggers that area in my life because I'm hurt in that area. I'm weak in that area. I come tonight expecting. I come tonight for the Lord to speak a word in my heart, to put His key in there to heal some things. And then when those things are healed, that trigger. Why do some people get mad and fly off the handle? Why do some people spout off words that they don't mean? Come on, there's a hurt place there. And the devil pokes that just right, and he knows how to get us in the place. Jesus looked at her hurt, and He said, weep not. He sent that word. It brought a healing to her. Look at verse 14. He didn't stop there. Verse 14, and He came and He touched the briar. He touched the coffin. He touched this this pole outfit that they were carrying, this lean-to situation of this child, this boy, this young man, upon, probably 25, 30 years old, touched it. Now, I want you to know this is the same word that I told you to remember in the sixth chapter. He attached Himself to it. See, that's how He overcomes death. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. When Jesus touches things, they come alive. Amen. He attached Himself to this thing that looks like it's death. Now, this means that Jesus, at this moment of time, according to church, according to their law, He was unclean. Jesus has never been unclean. Jesus takes what's unclean and He makes it, amen. And He came and He touched the briar, and they that bare Him stood still, and He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now see, what happened here, when this woman, when she received those words, when she received the words of weep not, and it brought healing in her heart, because this young man is dead, and she's standing in the place bringing the spiritual to the natural, she is giving Jesus a legal right to move forward. Now this is important. You and I, we want always to give Jesus the legal right to do what He wants to do in our life, in our family's life, in our community, whatever it might be. So when she accepted and received that word, then Jesus was able to go to the next step. Now, you and I, we're believing for some of our lost family to be saved, healed, delivered, and all these things. Well, we got to make sure that we're doing step by step, we're the progressive hearing of the Word of God, and we move forward in it. Amen? All right. Verse number 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now, I love this because this word speak here, it means just with an excitement to deliver everything that is in your mind out. Now, I want you to think about this young man and what he could say to his mother. To be asking for the body is to be... Come on, he had some knowledge here. He had some understanding. And the words, when Jesus told him to arise, he sat up. You can look at where Peter, Brother Larry, where he prayed for Dorcas. And Dorcas, she sat up. She raised up. It's the same Greek word. But when he sat up, he had something to say. I'm here to tell you by the Spirit of the living God tonight, God's going to touch some things that's looking dead, and they're going to start talking for the glory of God. They're going to say some things that's going to cause people to be edified. It's going to bring them out of darkness and bring them into the light. Amen? I believe it with all of my heart. Verse number 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he, Jesus, delivered him to his mother. Verse 16. And there came a fear on all, a reverence. And they glorified God, saying, there is a great prophet risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. I want you to think about this. This here is just on the other side of the mountain from where 800, 900 years before, Elisha had raised the last person from the dead. So it had been 900 years. The number 9 in Bible numbers is fruit of the Spirit times 100. Power of God in the dispensation of grace. God has got the power to raise the dead. Come on, I don't care. So your inheritance, it may look like it's gone. Your promises may look like they're gone. All of these things, it may look doomy and gloomy. But Jesus wants you to know that you have something when you're attached to Him. He has a word for you. He has a word for me. And there came a reverence on all. And they glorified God. I want God to be glorified out of my situation. See, the devil, he wants us to hide those things. See, like, till Jesus talked to the man with the withered hand, there's no doubt he walked around with what he needed covered up. See, if I show Jesus what I need, he's the God that will meet me where I'm at. Amen? Two verses, I'll let you go. Romans chapter 8. I want you to take this home with you. You can quote these verses. But I want you to get it in your heart, because this is what Jesus has done for us, and this is how it ties in with the woman who had lost everything. Romans 8 and 16. Romans 8 and 16. The Spirit itself, better translated Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are, what tense is that? Present tense. If you've believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God no matter what. Amen? Now, what happens when that occurs? Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. See, she looked like she lost her inheritance. She looked like she didn't have any way to make a living, and Jesus come and He restored to her. All right? That was a type of what happened to you and I. Because, see, Jesus died for us. See, Mary, I want you to see Mary, the reason why Jesus done this, Mary was a widow, Jesus' mother. And Jesus, we went to the cross, He died for us. This was a type of foreshadowing what was going to happen. Amen? When he brought back to life this young man from Nain, this young man that was in the pasture, that's what happens to you and I. Because what Jesus done for us. Jesus, He walked just like you and I are walking in this same flesh body. The Bible says He was tempted in every way that I'm tempted and you're tempted. Yet He was without sin. And He was placed on that cross for my sin, for your sin. And He died in our place. And so now everything that Jesus owns, we're a joint heir with Jesus. And so that's what He done. It's what He restored to that woman. That's a type and a shadow to teaching us. So what does He want us to have tonight? He wants us to have the fullness of salvation. Jesus said, I come that you could have more than abundant life. That's the Zoe, the God kind of life. He said, I come that you could have peace in the middle of tribulation. I come that you remember talking about Elisha and Elijah, and the meal barrel never run dry. The oil cruiser never run empty. In this day and age, the way the economy is, the way everything's going, we need to know that we've got a God who we're heirs with. Now, if you're, it's amazing to me that He would call us an heir. Notice that, how progressive it was. Okay, I'm an heir. Thank God, that's wonderful. But He said, what? Whew. That means everything that Jesus owns, you own it equally by His name. And then He goes on and puts you in the same place with Him in the sense of being an heir of God. That's your God. Amen? So all we've got to do in our life is just hear what the Lord says. Don't worry about man. Sometimes I may say the wrong thing. I may mess it up. I may miss it. But Jesus never messes it up. He never misses it. If you'll hear in here what He's saying to you, and it may not make any sense, and probably won't, because till we understand how to divide spirit and flesh, there's always going to be a battle there. But if you'll just take Him in His word, you will be healed. Spirit, soul, or body. If we looked in one verse, if we looked in this fifth chapter, we was reading in the sixth chapter. Notice it says that in verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching that the Pharisees and doctors of the law were sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and of Judea and Jerusalem. And notice, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was it present to heal them? Because everywhere Jesus is, there's possibility. And they, in this same chapter, they have to make a decision whether they'll hear Him or not. And they do. They make that decision. And when they make that decision that they will... Yes, verse 15. It says, but so much more that there went a fame abroad of Him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him. I need to hear that God's got something better for me than what I'm settling for. I need to know that He has peace for me. He has victory for me. Brother Donnie and Brother Jason and I were talking outside in the foyer there before church, and we were talking about how the flesh body, it's never satisfied. It always wants something. What gets me is, you know, you want to eat right, and you want to try to take care of this body because we're supposed to, but it doesn't want to. It wants everything that's wrong for it, everything that's bad for it, no matter... It'll never change. So why am I saying that? I'm saying that don't let that deter you, because that's not who you are. This flesh body is going back to the dirt. Who you really are is alive in here. And it's going to live forever. And when you put off this flesh body, in Jesus you're going to put on a glorified body. And you're going to live with Him forever. Amen? That's part of this inheritance. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord, for the power of Your Word. Lord, right now, I ask that You would touch each one of us. Lord, I know that the enemy is working overtime in our lives, trying to bring discouragement, trying to overload us with the cares of this life. Lord, right now, there's people in here who are like the centurion. They're praying the prayer of faith. They're believing You to send Your word and to heal somebody that they love and care for. We've got lost loved ones. They're in trouble in sin. They're in trouble in this world. And we're believing that You'll send that word that will just fit in the very center part of their heart and will change their life, where they'll be healed, they'll be delivered. There's others in here tonight that in their own life, they need to hear you say, rise up. Rise up out of your trouble. Rise up out of your fear. Rise up out of your hurt. Rise up out of the things that seem to be holding you down. And stand forth. And stretch forth by faith that thing that looks like it's withered, that thing that looks like it has no hope in it, and give it to you. And when we give it to you, you'll speak life unto it. Lord, wherever we're at tonight, whoever you're talking to, talk first. I want to hear, and I want every person else to have that same attitude. Talk, here I am. Your servant is listening. Talk to us. And help us to hear those words that are life. And help us step into them and receive the fullness of what you would have. Let it be, Father. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Would you make yourself an altar, either at your chair or up here, whatever you feel comfortable doing. But would you just let the Lord talk to you? In the name of Jesus, we bind every hindering spirit. And we just thank Him that we have eyes to see and ears to hear in advance. Just let the Lord talk to you about anything in your life that you might need to hear. I want you to know that you're special. You realize that there's nobody else on earth like you. God made you special for Himself. He created you and He breathed life into you. And He's willing to fight for you. I hope you can just sense that love in your spirit that He's drawing you with. The cords of love. Lord, help us right now to see into your liquid love eyes in Jesus' name. Make yourself an altar. Believe that you will hear. Amen.